You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Find more great shows like this at WeAreLibertarians.com.
Hey, welcome. We Are Libertarians. We got another reaction video. We're going to react to Steven Crowder talking about why we need the closed borders. And, we've obviously had met so many opportunities to change his mind. And we just apparently haven't done it yet. So we're going to play a little video from him. I'm joined by a lot of fun guys. You'll get to know them. We got Reinhold. We got Brian. We got Jacob. We got Remzo. We got Keaton. I'm Hody. Let's get into it. I'm going to play. And as soon as you want to say something, guys, just say something and I'll pause it.
This is something else that really bothers me. People were talking about this recently. I think I heard Joe Rogan echo this sentiment, and I don't want to say it was only him, but he was quoting somebody else who had made this statement. And a lot of people, at least,
he talks so fast without actually saying anything, right?
Like fucking Canadians.
Yeah, come on. All right, get to it.
Sentiment where they say, "What are borders?" I just heard someone talking about this the other day again on CNN. That's what prompted it. It's just this arbitrary what, because someone laid out a line, created a line that this divides us, and we're supposed to believe that that's a real thing. No, you know what borders are? And it really bothers me when people try and be so reductive. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with being reductive. It's a valid point. But in this case, it is false. No, you know what
All right. So, you know, obviously, he's going to explain what a border actually is. Right. Here comes the expert coming at you guys. This is what is everything you thought you knew, all that invisible line nonsense. No, the border is a very real thing.
First of all, somebody said he was a comedian. Don't you have to be funny to be a comedian?
He is dressed in this video. I don't know if you've seen it. He is dressed like a leprechaun while watching, I think it's the Grammys.
That's not funny. That's just silly. It's stupid. There's nothing funny about that.
I don't know. He's talking really fast. Isn't that what made Bernie Mac funny? Like, I mean, is that not
Ben
funny?
Shapiro does it too, but he doesn't call himself a comedian.
R.I.P. Bernie Mac.
All right. Yeah. Too soon, Hody. Too soon.
Sorry, everybody. I went too low. I got that low ground on lock, guys. All right. Yeah, sorry. Let me turn it over to Crowder.
Not the high ground, Hody.
Yeah.
Border represents, folks, just like we're talking about foreign language films and that offends people versus international. The reason that borders exist is because they're a physical manifestation of shared, or even more importantly, now in 2020, unshared values.
All right. So they're a physical manifestation of shared or not shared values. So as soon as you believe something different than me, a border just pops up, right? That's how things go. I mean,
in today's politics, that's almost so true. People put up their walls as soon as you say something different than them.
We got Paul joining us too.
Escape from LA is one of my favorite movies, just because of the first 5 minutes where they're like, we had to cast them away, so we pushed Los Angeles off into the ocean. I'm like, they could do that?
Like Bugs Bunny sawing off the state of Florida.
Right. I mean, everybody, you know, is calling for this like a fence, like a mountain in between, right? And I think they got it wrong. They need to dig the ditch, right? Like like you said, dig down.
The boats.
Right. The moat, the alligator filled moat. That's what I'm looking for. I want to see some people swim across that. If you really want your borders, Mr. Crowder, stop talking about a wall. Start talking about a ditch.
That's how we recruit our next Olympic team. Yeah, because by the time you're done running, jumping, and swimming, you're already in America and you're getting the gold.
Yeah.
Can we please put a giant crocodile-filled moat underneath the pole vaulting in the Olympics next time? Like,
well, I mean, if we can afford the Space Force, I don't see why not. Go ahead, Ryan.
XFL Olympics.
Yeah.
So wasn't it the Western, powers that decided that someplace like Iraq would just have arbitrary borders that had no care about what the shared values of the people who are living in that country were?
Yep. Churchill.
Well, I thought everybody in Iraq had the same values. Like the Kurds and the government, they seem to be
they love each other, right? And the Kurds all get along all the time.
Ryan Holmes stole my thunder.
Turns out
that was my comment in the back pocket I had.
On a piece of paper, you can just redraw where values are.
Right. Every year, don't we gerrymander this? Like, every year, like our politicians are like, all right, guys, where are the shared values now? I've lost track.
I don't have the same shared values as my neighbor. I'm supposed to put I don't know. I mean, I have a border on my property, but I'm not going to tell him he can't come on my property when he needs to or wants to.
Like almost all of us.
As long as I okay it.
Almost all of us have a statist in the house, probably, right? I mean, I don't think we have, you know, well, that's why I hope you lock your doors at night, you know?
To not be funny about it, trying to say that borders are about shared values is just trying to say that it's us versus them, or we're better than you, or something like that. So this is nationalism is all it is. If borders are just an arbitrary line that's put in place in order to enforce laws of a government and right. provide protections for certain people
I like that
we just kind of agreed upon.
Right. He stops himself even because he says shared values or unshared values, because he had to do that, because as soon as he said shares values, there's a lot of shared values we have with people on the other side of borders. And if that's how we did borders, then all of a sudden our borders look a lot different. So it you know what? I'm going to let him.
Then we share a national border with people like Bernie Sanders and his group. Right. So, I mean,
right.
Yeah. I don't share those values.
Right. I mean, he's going to get real specific about the values he's talking about, because obviously there's, that matters exactly which values are shared and unshared.
It's not that someone just decided to lay a line down. It's, for example, the United States border.
It's not at all like gerrymandering, guys. Come on, get real.
We're saying, hold on a second. The reason we have a border, the reason we have country boundaries is because we value liberty. We value personal freedom.
That's why we drew the borders, right? Because we value liberty and freedom. Wasn't that the end of the Mexican-American War? We value liberties, and so that's why we're going
to... Was it that the line between United States and Canada was just kind of like, it was all about liberty? It wasn't because that just happened to be along a parallel on the map?
If that was
an arbitrary line,
can we please make those lines a little bit larger to value liberty a little bit more? Please make those lines larger.
Yeah. I don't want just a line. I need what size of the bricks are we talking? I want to talk. They're talking about height. I need to talk about thickness, because that matters too, right, ladies? Yeah. Come on. All right.
It's about how you use the border too,
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
It's about the firepower on the board. All right. I'm sorry. Let's see. Here we go.
We value the individual over the group. We value the right to protect yourself. We value that women are created equal, that all people are created equal, that women are not subservient, that they can drive cars, that they don't have to hide their face.
So we keep some people out from experiencing these individual rights because they don't have the individual rights, because they don't believe in the individual rights, but they want those individual rights, but we have to keep them. I lost track.
I believe in borders. I believe in a extremely limited government, but this is a terrible argument for either.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing people don't understand. When you say open borders, you're specifying borders. This is not no borders that we argue for. We argue for borders. We just argue for them to be open for travel across unless there's a specific reason to close them, right?
Yeah, so. I mean, I take a very, civil society, almost Alexander Hamilton stance on this. It has nothing to do with, where you can and can't go. It has more to do with the boundaries of the state. Like, where does the state end? And I mean, I grew up in a border town in Sierra Vista, Arizona. And for the longest time, I grew up in the same town that my mother grew up in. I mean, for the longest time in Arizona, all those border states, I'm repeating myself. For a long time, the border was basically just there, and everyone kind of knew where it was, and people could come and go as they please, and there was really no problem. Mexico was a very stable, prosperous country, and people would come into the United States to work, and then they'd go home because they want to go home, and then Americans would go into Mexico, buy a bunch of shit, and come back. It was fine. It wasn't until the whole drug epidemic happened, and we basically created the cartels, that we really had to start clamping the border down. And I see it less of, protecting America from people that want to abuse the welfare state, specifically when I'm talking to Mexico. It's more of, we need to board up the windows and the doors, because the giant fucking mess we made outside might get in, and we don't want anyone to talk about that. I mean, it used to be extremely safe, and now there are parts of the Huachuca Mountains in my hometown that you can't go on because the U.S. government has signs up that says that they can't guarantee your safety. It's not because they were inherently violent. It's because we created a violent epidemic, and we try not to talk about it.
So when you give guns to violent people and forbid peaceful people from having weapons, okay, I see. So, and when I need a crown on my tooth, that's when I want the borders the least. That's that, that for me is kind of where I'm just like, all right, that's a shared value that I have with them, is making, is doing crowns on teeth for really cheap.
Well, and the thing too, is he's trying to make the argument that if somebody comes from one of those environments, those cultures, that they're going to bring that culture with them and infest it in here and try to make it be what it is. The people, if they liked their culture, would stay there. They're coming here because they're trying to escape that culture.
So
and
you're
go
saying,
to a place that has freedom and liberty and all the promises that were supposed to be given to everybody. So, and we're spending all our time invalidating all of that and all the reasons why people were coming here in the first place.
The yeah, like I went left, to, I'm sorry, Hody, I interrupted.
Oh, you're good. The people who left the Soviet Union didn't bring communism. They hated communism. Like, I thought Ayn Rand was all about communism. That's when, that was my big takeaway. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those situations where it's like, you know, I had to go to Detroit for work back in like October, November, and I know I had to go through Dearborn. So I'm being told by, you know, all these right wingers, oh, Dearborn is basically like, you know, little Somalia, and, you know, they've got madrasas everywhere and they've just taken over and Sharia law everywhere. And it's like, yeah, I saw like a lot of Somalis. I saw a lot of, you know, people who appeared to be Muslim, but they were just kind of doing their own shit, and they opened businesses and they were just doing their own thing. I spoke to locals who had been, you know, from the Detroit area for years, and they're like, yeah, they're there. What about it? It's like, there's no real fucking problem.
No. Yeah, when people say Sharia law, they don't even understand what they're talking about, right? So that's the frustrating part, is it's now just become a word that people use. Oh, Sharia law means we're gonna execute these people because they're gay. We're gonna mutilate
stone
all these
women
and
cheat.
Everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not what the majority of people who come here who also believe in Sharia law are seeing as that. They believe that is just like a biblical law. For Christians, where Christians say, okay, I believe in the biblical law, but it's a personal thing that I follow. I don't want to enforce that on anybody. And if you read the Quran, it says in there that they shouldn't be forcing Muslim views on anybody. So
I mean, it even goes back
as a personal thing.
Yeah, like it even goes back to, you know, like, why do Mexicans come in this country? A majority of Mexicans I know, and listen, I will trade an illegal Mexican with you know, a regular American most any day of the week because they work. I've never seen a homeless Mexican in my life. Let me repeat that. I've never seen a homeless Mexican. Those people work. They have a good, strong family unit. They have a very good, you know, respectable Catholic faith. They work, and they don't want to be here. They're here because here's where the money is. Here's where the job is. And they don't want to pay taxes. Guess what? I don't want to either. But for if the IRS is watching this, I'm totally paying this year. But, like, that's not the point. It's like they would rather be at home.
You know, there's a saying that there's no atheist in a foxhole. I firmly believe there's no closed-bordered person in a tamale stand. Like, I just firmly believe, like, that's where it really ends, when the rubber hits the road, when we say, all right, put up or shut up.
That was a chapter in my book, Stay Away from the Libertarians, Taco Trucks on Every Corner. It's like nobody really complains about the Mexicans. And it's like, you know, here's the thing. If a Mexican is taking your job, then that's a you problem.
Yeah. I mean, all they do is wear big sombreros and sleep under cactus. If that guy could sleep under your, if that guy can take your job, I mean,
and the funniest part about that is that the same people who are complaining about these people taking their jobs, they want to limit competition in their workplace so they can be guaranteed work, are the same people who say, well, we shouldn't have socialism and guaranteed work.
Yeah. All right. Let's laugh at Crowder some more.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, here we go.
We value free enterprise, not giving everything to the government.
We value not giving everything to the government. So the Democratic Party just got shipped overseas.
I wish that was true.
That would be so great, right?
All human beings.
We value not giving everything to the government, but, you know, let's give absolute power to the government. You know, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. As long as it's my stuff. Yeah.
We value that we don't have slavery, as opposed to many countries where there is indentured servitude. It is important for people to realize that borders are a physical manifestation of unshared values. And you know what's also important? That's also why the legal immigration thing is a big deal.
The sole reason. He said it a lot, so it's here it comes.
We have an immigration system by which you can migrate here legally.
Okay, so with what you guys know about why we have an immigration system that has to be legalized, do you think he's about to get the right or the wrong answer?
Exceptionally.
I believe he's about to get the insane answer.
Here we go. All right, go off your rocker, Stephen, go.
What you can move into this country legally is to ensure that you share the same values. That's why there's a citizenship oath. When people act as though...
Oh, that's why. Oh. To make sure that they share the same values.
So it wasn't, you know, racists in the early progressive era that instituted checks to... oh, darn.
That's your history textbook talking, yeah. Paul. You statist.
Well, he talks about to become a citizen. I don't remember you have to become a citizen in order to come here and hang out or visit or live for a few years, right? I mean, why do you have to become a citizen to do that?
Well... you don't have to in a lot of countries. A lot of countries, you can go there as a guest worker, but they actually limit you to what age you are. Because, like, if I wanted to go to Australia right now and be a guest worker, I couldn't do it unless I fit inside a list of specific jobs. And if I don't fit in that list and I don't have enough money to be able to live there, guess what? You're not staying. You're going home.
Yeah, so he's making the point that this is our shared values. Well, right. What are those shared values? Liberty. And individualism, and he just poops all over it by saying, "Well, we should limit movement, and we should prevent these people from getting here." And all it's like,
I'm pretty sure that my neighbors are communists. Are we gonna start throwing them out of helicopters because they don't share American values?
Right, but I mean, he's himself expressing an American value, in my opinion.
He is
of protectionism.
There's the tankies, right, and then there's the helicopters, and I think we're the gators, right? Feed them to the alligators. Like that's what we're pushing for here. No, but what you said, Brian, it's a list of demographics. Then it becomes a demographic thing. It's not about liberty and individualism. And if you get all that, right? Because then Steven Crowder would be the only one allowed in this country, I assume, you know.
Those fucking Canadians.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why we have, dude, I went to a thing in Canada. I went over, or it was in Seattle, but I had some friends from Canada, and it was real close. We just went back and forth so many times, not one checkpoint, barely a sign that said, "Welcome to Canada." And so whenever people are like, "My security and my safety," I'm just like, "Yeah, well, which border are you talking about? You know, like, come on, please."
Well, I mean, it's obviously the country we screwed up, because remember the last time we gave guns to cartels in Canada? I don't either.
We might have given cocaine to the moose, though, eh?
Oh yeah, that's why you have so many moose murders. I mean, it has less to do with we're protecting our jobs, we're protecting our people. It's more like, don't look over the wall.
Yeah,
you don't want to see what we did.
All right. These folks just want to come into this country. Well, hold on a second. Look at the values in many of these South American countries. Do they share the American...
Oh, so we're sharing the values with the nations, not with the people coming across.
Right. Because that's not collectivist thought.
Right. As soon as you're from a country that loves communism, it's over. That's your values too. You know?
Hang on, I got a question. Didn't we install a lot of those shithole governments that he's talking about?
Oh, Brian, that's low even by my standards.
I thought we installed a lot of those shithole governments, and so that's why I'm kind of sitting there going, if they don't have our standards, why'd we put them in? So,
yeah, what's the term, Banana Republic, I think?
The Contras were totally cool, guys.
Yeah, those are our despots, okay? They would have been way better than the other despots. Okay.
It's like what I used to say about Saddam Hussein and the former president of Egypt. It's like, yeah, listen, they're assholes, and then they're our assholes, and we leave our assholes alone.
And big surprise.
Someone who's not, then we've got somebody else's asshole to deal with.
And why are our assholes not being nice to their assholes? I thought that was the whole, was going to create stability.
The reality is all those countries down there in Central America, Mexico especially, and everywhere else have significant corruption problems, just like we do in the U.S. and everywhere else. Every time you throw government into play, guys, got news for you, somebody's on the take, and there's that rampant corruption. The problem is it's just removing it in those countries, especially Mexico, Belize, Guatemala, Nicaragua. It's so endemic, and it's just expected that you just can't get out of it. So... and that's why those people want to leave, because they realize there's nothing they can do.
Well, the places they're coming from, the Northern Triangle, was listed as one of the most dangerous places to live for the past 8 years. Because that place we backed a coup in that country right? Hillary Clinton and the State Department backed a coup in that country, and that government that ended up taking over was more despotic and started killing people who disagree with them, and now people are fleeing their lives for their lives because they're being hunted down and killed.
You were more likely to die just as a citizen of like El Salvador than you were as a combatant in an active war zone in the Israeli-Palestinian war. Like there's some bad stuff going on there, Stephen. Maybe they want to leave for other reasons than, oh, we love slavery, but things aren't working out too here right now. Let's bring literal slavery to the United States, says every illegal.
Remember the last time a couple states joined together to separate from the federal government because they didn't have shared values?
Yeah.
It really is such a lazy argument by Steven Crowder. Like Renzo was saying earlier, like you can have the idea that thinking that in most libertarians, it's my understanding and my idea of this issue has evolved over time as I've learned more, but libertarians are not against borders. They're very much pro borders with private, you know, with the idea of private property. Like you can control who comes in and out of your own home.
Yes.
You can control who you want to interact with and who you don't want to interact with. They're very much pro borders with your own private property. It's just like, should the government have these arbitrary lines where they eminent domain a line in the middle of your property and say, this is ours now. And then we get to control who gets to come on and off of what was your private property, which is now ours. So, I
took my girlfriend of 5 years to my hometown a couple of years ago. And the one thing that freaked her the hell out is I don't know if many of you guys are familiar with Arizona, but like the Sinaloa drug cartel, like when you look at the per capita number of illegal aliens that are entering the United States, a majority of them used to come through Arizona. What they ended up doing was now throughout the entire state, you have these giant border patrol checkpoints where you have to stop and you have to get quickly screened by an agent. And like, I'm a Republican. And Republicans hate me when I say this, but that entire, you know, system one, you've just turned Arizona into a giant police state. Two, the border agents profile you. And for the record, the Border Patrol agents are actually very diverse. You've got some, you know, Anglo-Americans, you've got some Mexican-Americans, but they're looking for a certain people. They're not looking for my blonde-haired, green-eyed girlfriend. Yeah, more often than not, they're looking at me.
Yeah.
And it became a giant situation of, if the problem is here, then you've already failed at your job. So how about you go out to the actual border and you leave me the fuck alone?
But even worse than that, though, when you talk about the Republican Party, is that they claim they want people who have the same values. Those people coming from South America are usually very socially a Republican, socially conservative, religious, you know, Catholic.
Oh yeah, those darn Catholics are screwing up our culture. Yeah.
And they're just trying to come. They're trying to come here, and all they're doing is making those people vote Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Democrats aren't trying to throw them out of the country.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's almost like embracing their culture would have helped the Republican Party. All right, Stephen, get back to the crazy.
American values. Do they believe in the power of the individual? Do they believe in freedom of speech? Do they believe that people should have the right to protect their home and property?
Yes.
Right. What do they do in rooting out corruption in office? And I know some people are...
They're leaving the corruption
out. Korea.
Yeah. Yeah. These guys hopping the border are all like, we really liked Kim Jong-un. We're just kind of hungry. So we're going over to the United States, right?
We're not going back.
Yeah. We're leaving in fear for our lives from the corrupt government. And we want to come over and make this country corrupt so that we can just enjoy that same feeling because it gives us a rush.
Remember the last time an American soldier or South Korean soldier kicked a North Korean back into North Korea?
Yeah. That's a long way to hold somebody's hand, right? Like you're in trouble, or like pull their ear, like, hey, yeah, no, naughty. We're going all the way back to North Korea now. This is Alien Gonzalez all over again. All right, go ahead, Steven.
Right now, I'm going to say, well, what about Donald Trump? Okay, look at Venezuela, folks. Why would we want to bring in people who might bring in values from a shithole South American country where they don't value any of the tenets of the, the principles of this country?
Holy shit.
That's accurate, right?
Did Maduro won with 100% of the vote? Is that what it was? A legit vote, 100%? Did I miss that election?
Crushed it. Crushed it.
I think a lot of Venezuelans missed that election.
Yeah.
It was a huge victory. Yeah. What was it? We had like We even had our own spies like in the system, and we're like, hey, they just got a result from this precinct, and there's like 20 people in this precinct, and 200 votes got cast for that guy. So just as a heads up, that might not have been a legitimate election, right?
This is like a Chicago mayoral race.
Yeah.
Chicago slump firsthand.
Rahm Emanuel's out now. He should run in Venezuela. He could take Maduro down.
And the funny part, too, is that they enacted their own governmental laws to basically remove to invalidate the election because it was obviously invalid, right? And we've got some certain libertarians who are trying to back Maduro and say he should still be the one in power. It's like, it's not a coup. They're enacting their own laws to do a proper getting rid of corruption in government. And you're backing that. I don't understand you.
I mean, if I got to get serious real quick, we had a video of a citizen who is standing up to the corrupt government getting run over by a truck because he was trying to stand in their way. How many Americans do you know stand up against corruption that hard? Couldn't we use a little influx of people that are like, hey, screw that corruption? Like, if that's really your concern, I think these Venezuelan people who are leaving instead of backing the regime are probably right up your alley.
I mean, we could just look at what happened yesterday in the primaries that I don't think anybody actually paid attention to. I mean, Bernie Sanders was in the lead amongst Florida Democrats. And then after his Castro literacy program comment, that just fucking fell apart. And they gave it to Sleeping Joe.
That was the dumbest thing ever.
Turns out most Cuban Americans don't like Castro.
Can't figure out what happened there.
Isn't that odd? Isn't that
aren't there a bunch of pro Castro people in Florida? And I thought that's what that was about. Miami was all Castro, right?
Right. Yeah. Those people who are coming over on life rafts are like, all right, we're desperate to bring the message of Fidel here. And so
No. Cuba kicked out all the illiterate ones, and then they got to the ballot box and they were confused. Bernie. It both starts with B.
You know what's crazy is
that is my favorite letter of the alphabet. B, so I just vote for the B's.
I just think it's crazy that the entire time he's talking about, you know, Venezuela and all this stuff, you know, every single person from Venezuela is accountable for everything the Venezuelan government did, apparently. But in that context, I guess then, do we have to pay for the sins of our country then? Because that's a very dangerous game that I don't think we want to get into that contest.
I'm not exactly ready to take account for interning the Japanese yet.
You know what? I say we do.
Blowing up the Iraqis in Afghanistan.
Blowing up weddings.
I say
we didn't have our values.
Yeah, the Kurds say hello.
Let's all make sure that Crowder is the one that pays first, though.
Yes. All right, he's first in line, right, Steven?
Borders exist as a physical manifestation of values that we share and values that we don't share. And the reason we have a system so that we can check and make sure people are coming through is to ensure that only the people who share our values and want to take part in the American experiment, and by the way, also
we've already
learn the language, become a part of the American culture, and appreciate American culture, are coming to this country. How we've lost sight of that now, where everyone is entitled to go to move into any country that they want to because we are all citizens of the world, is asinine, it's stupid, it's the kind of rhetoric that leads to obviously silly, meaningless decisions like switching foreign film to international, but you know.
All right, I'm gonna pause it there.
Okay. Has this man ever been to the fucking southern border?
Yeah.
just one thing before we move on to what he just said, but he when we started replaying that, he said something else that just really boggled my mind that he got away with when he said borders are our shared values and our unshared values. That what does that mean when? It's the exact opposite of what you're just trying to say, right? We want people who have our shared values, but we also, borders are about unshared values. You're completely contradicting yourself, and no one calls you on it.
What I want to know is what exactly is American culture? Because, Kentucky culture here is way different than even Indianapolis culture or San Francisco culture.
Yep.
Like
there's so many different cultures in the United States. It's just amazing that.
Yeah, like for your token, trad conservative, it's like, why do we have states? It's like saying I'm not allowed to leave California if I was in California because you know, I might not be 100% on the values of Kansas or something.
Right. Oh, well, I'm in Utah.
Republicans will say that's a good thing, so you don't go into Texas and take over Texas.
Well, right. I was about to say, if you're in California,
it wasn't because of, like, shared values.
Yeah, you're not allowed to
leave and, or unshared values. It might be unshared values that could that create that border, too. Right?
Well, greetings from Salt Moat City out here in Utah.
He's talking about, should we let everybody in here? I'm like, that's what made this country what it was. This is... We had open borders for the most part, except for a period of time where they were trying to keep the Chinese out. But other than that, we were letting people in, and we were sharing our experiences and becoming a better person, a better organism. That's why you don't have, you know, relations with your own family members. You branch out. You have your tree has branches on it because
you've never been to West Virginia.
Sorry, West Virginia.
Right? So that's what built us to be so fast, built us to be such a powerhouse of a country. We had great ideas. I mean, look, Carnegie was from Scotland. Yep. We had Rockefeller was, you know, all these people came and made themselves great and made the country great because of it.
We lose the war without Lafayette, by the way. There is no America, and so therefore nothing to debate. If we say, sorry, Marquis de Lafayette, this is an American war. This is an American experience. You got to stay over there.
Yeah, and look at Hamilton. Hamilton wasn't even born in the United States in any way, shape, or form. He couldn't even be president, probably.
Yeah.
Well, here's the one thing that I always find funny about this is that when I was growing up, and as I said earlier before we started recording, was about growing up with a lot of diverse neighborhood. A lot of those kids, guess what the first thing they wanted to do was? They didn't want to be like their parents. They wanted to be like the kids they went to school with. So the first thing they started doing was they started to get rid of it. And I had a lot of kids that grew up in Islam. They didn't want to wear the niqab. They didn't want to wear
hijab.
Thank you.
The thing.
They didn't want to wear the hijab. They didn't want to. They wanted to go ahead and, hey, you know what? I want to have a hot dog. Is that okay? You know, and don't tell my parents. But that's the thing, is that these kids want to it. And what's the greatest thing we can do for these kids is let them have that experience and maybe learn, hey, look, you know what? There's some really cool things in my parents. You know, when they get older, they figure it out. Okay, my parents were right about some stuff. But there's some things that they're wrong about as well.
How weak is your culture and religion?
They're never going to experience that.
Right. How weak is your culture and religion if the guy that you let come in to open a hot dog stand or a, like, taco stand manages to convert you to Catholicism? Like, your Mormonism is so bad that the taco stand guy was just – it's like, oh, well, there goes Mormon culture. The taco people took
that
over and now we're Catholics.
That was one hell of a taco he made.
Yeah, it was just – and it convinced – and all my kids went to his stand. I couldn't control it.
I would hate to have that little faith in what I believe in.
Right. Like, how bad is your culture? I'll let him keep going.
You know what? I'm a big fan of borders. I'm a big fan of borders, and I'm a big fan of knowing who's coming into the country legally, because I don't have a problem with putting on team jerseys when you have citizens of the world who believe that women need four witnesses for a rape, who believe that you don't have the right...
Our team, because that's like like team jerseys, right? Like, that's
literally the people coming here believe the exact same fucking thing. Yeah.
Like Kavanaugh, because we can't believe the women because we got to have four witnesses that prove that this happened, right? Is that Crowder? Weren't you on that side?
Well, right.
I mean, beyond that, like, has he just admitted that it's no more than jerseys and, you know, rooting for a team?
Yep.
It's about him not wanting those people in his country. That's all it is.
Yeah, keep those Buckeye fans in their side of the stands. I mean,
that's what I'm talking about.
I think we can all agree.
And here's the thing. I don't assume that everybody that believes in borders is racist. I know that Crowder's not racist. That's a trite thing that gets thrown around. You do your argument no credit when you throw all those people
in
the racist
wagon. I never said racist.
I can say
nationalist. I can say bigot.
Like, when I worked for the Austin Peterson campaign, when he was running for president, like, his border stance was this: are you a criminal? Do you have a disease? Do you intend to get work soon? Okay, go in. Like, it's that simple.
Right.
When you go to Arizona and you're near Nogales, they're not asking you to recite the preamble of the Constitution. They're asking you, do you have a passport? Are you a criminal? What are you doing here? Okay, bye. There's no values test there.
The reason this issue is such a slippery slope is because of the size of the state that we're in now. The size of the government that we're under right now is completely ridiculous, and the size of the welfare state is completely ridiculous. And the thing is like, if we didn't have such a massive welfare state, these people wouldn't care about people coming. Who cares about people coming over and getting a job and contributing?
No, I have to disagree. I do believe that the welfare state is just a convenient scapegoat for people that just want to distance themselves from an other group. It's the same xenophobia that we've seen throughout history. We're just seeing it now.
Yeah, I mean, you can't come in this country and get welfare for 5 years. Right.
I don't think the Mexican landscapers in my neighborhood are living at large on handouts.
Nobody.
They're all just wanting to work. They want to. I mean, they work harder than most people I see.
I will trade the jobs I don't want to do for a hardworking Mexican any day of the week.
I think to Keaton's point, like, we do have a massive entitlement state, but and I think we look around, especially as libertarians, and we kind of like, well. Yeah, which entitlement are you looking at? Why should we sacrifice the entitlements of that are like, oh, so that your kids go to school, right, is a really common one. And I think that's actually the single largest one, the public school subsidy for illegal immigrants that they take advantage of, you know, or whatever. And it's like, yeah, but the corporate subsidies for agriculture is like 11 million times that amount. I mean, I think what it is, it's not understand. I think a lot of
Republicans. Maybe if our
Republicans,
public education system was any good, maybe then I would have a problem with it.
Right. I think they get hijacked into thinking that that's a normal argument. They say, heck, we have a guy running for president right now that's like, hey, no borders and no welfare, no borders, right? That's his big thing. And it's like, you know, we have to end one first. When I think with economic literacy, you understand, and like, this is supposed to be a fun, funny video, so I don't want to get into like non-discretionary spending and what all that means. But essentially, that's not the way it works out, right? And ultimately, these people bring in a lot more than good things than bad things. When we look back in American history and we think of, I mean, Reinhold brought up the brief period of time when we didn't let Chinese people come in here, it was a bad time. Right. And so all these are bad times. We have good relationships with Canada, and it's largely open borders there. Utah has good relationships with Wyoming, largely open borders there. Most counties get along, largely open borders there. Bad relationships with Mexico. Oh, better close the border, because that's how you fix these problems, right? Is creating distance as opposed to familiarity, right? I mean, yeah,
20 years ago, we were talking about we can solve this problem, which they saw as a problem, which I didn't see as a problem, but they saw as a problem of illegal immigration, by just making Mexico better and fixing the problems and helping them fix their problems. And all of a sudden, that just goes away, because that's somebody else's issue. That's not us, right? It's like you don't understand how this works. And I know you don't like globalism, and I don't like globalism, but there's a difference. There's a space in between globalism and nationalism that people need to start sitting in and existing in, instead of trying to go to these extremes of either side, which both of them are authoritarian and awful.
But to clarify what I was earlier saying too, I wasn't saying that the immigration, those that are immigrating over to America, are coming here just to get on welfare. I mean, everyone here kind of agrees on the same point that these people are wanting to work. They're wanting to contribute. I want them here. It's just the same. It's just, this is one of the things that I'm constantly trying to evolve and gather more information and form an opinion, is one of these things has to go first. It's either borders or it's either welfare state. And when you have one side of the political aisle arguing for unlimited health care, unlimited, you literally had a guy running for the Democratic Party to give $1,000 to everyone in the country. It's just like, if you cannot have a border flooding people in and also have an entire government program dedicated to giving everyone free health care, dedicated to giving everyone literally free money on a UBI program, those two things cannot coincide.
Sure they can.
It just gets really expensive, potentially.
I was going to say.
It just gets expensive, and people go, wait, we can't afford this. We better cut back on doing this stuff. You're not going to convince people to give up welfare programs and all these other government programs by keeping people out. That's never going to happen. So,
well, I guess it comes down to what's the easier sell.
But here's the thing. When you look at the numbers,
sterilization.
It's not even about sale. It's about the facts. So the people who are coming in that are actually a net economic benefit, right? We end up making more tax money off of them than, say, second or third generation Americans. Because second or third generation Americans are, you know, it's the entitlement to it. They feel like this is their deal. They should be able to do this and do that. I know I have to work, and I don't want those types of jobs. And I'm just going to collect unemployment, and I'll get this art program degree that's going to do nothing for me. So they're the ones that end up costing us more in our tax revenue being paid to help take care of them than the people who are coming in illegally or legally.
I do want to, and we'll move on. I'm going to let Stephen go here, but I think the, one of the issues is, would more people come in if we just completely stopped trying and opened our borders? And would more destitute people come in? Yeah, probably. But what Reinhold said, right. But also, I think, like, I'm trying to kind of get a middle ground here so we can move on. I think the thing is that creates a problem that we should solve that problem and not the problem of freedom of movement. That's the better problem to be solving, is these economic woes that get created because we allowed freedom of movement. Well, that was the whole reason, if you read it, the reason Hayek went from socialist to capitalist. He's converted by Mises, and it was largely because of this argument right here. It's because, like, well, if you have this system, you have to regulate all of the people within your area. And he said, well, that's not realistic. Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, now I'm a capitalist, right? All right, moving on with Stephen.
I'd like to speak out against the government. You know what? I'm glad that we have a dividing line, and I'd like there to be a f***ing wall. How about that?
Hey there, YouTuber, if you like this video.
He said the F word. I didn't like that video. Okay. Hey, if you like this video, please subscribe. I like Stephen Crowder. He's one of those guys like Ben Shapiro, where if he actually goes like issue by issue, he's 75% libertarian, but that's not what libertarianism is, right? It's not a matter of issues. It's a matter of actually believing in like individualism.
I had a weird situation. So like, I disagree with Ben Shapiro on a lot of stuff. I don't really say it publicly because he endorsed my book, my first book in 2018. But what's really funny, Jeremy Frankel, great commentator, he wrote the review and Shapiro piggybacked off of it. But like in the review of the book, they only spoke about like the anti-liberal parts of it and they ignored the rest of it. So what was really funny was you had a lot of people that thought I was shitting on libertarians. Then you had a lot of libertarians that thought I was shitting on everybody else. And all I realized was nobody really read the book, because when you do that, and this isn't a pitch from my own book, but it was giantly inconvenient. And that's the thing about it. They want to have all their cake and eat it too, but what they realize is that the cake is on the floor, and oh shit, they just gave a bunch of guns to the cartels. So this whole thing, like, you know, the whole border, and, you know, as I mentioned way earlier on, there was never a problem until we started instilling crime. Because last I checked, all the money and guns were going one way, and all the drugs and human trafficking was going the other way. And we don't like to talk about that because it's drastically inconvenient.
No, it's a great point.
That's why I think Reagan should have been impeached for Iran-Contra. And I like Reagan. I still think he should have been impeached for that.
Impeach them all.
And so should have Bush. Bush should have been impeached because they were trying to get him for that. And
9/11.
Bill Barr is the one that got him off. That's why he's hired now, is because what he did for Bush.
Yeah.
I guess I can probably be more petty than Paul Copeland when it comes to impeaching people. Like, I'm like, yes. Like, you just mentioned one bad authoritarian thing that is funded by theft, and I'm like, oh, yeah, cool. Yeah, get him out. And then it's like, well, then we'll have to impeach everybody. And I'm like, oh, there's only so hard
Heaven
I can
forbid.
Get right now, guys. There's only so erect I can get. So please, stop speaking lovely whispers in my ear. Any final disses? Anything you've been holding back on? Jacob, you've been so quiet and so nice. I want to hear you be mean.
No, I've just been absorbing everything, you know. Every time Reinhold talks about history, I learn like 100 new things I didn't know, so.
This wasn't meant to be informative. This is meant to be funny.
Well, I can't help it.
Yeah, so a little bit of sniping here at the end. I notice liberal Reinhold shows up the moment we're mocking the conservatives, so I find that funny. He missed the AOC roast earlier.
Reinhold, this is only going to contribute to you being a socialist. This is just
I have
this is only going
to contribute. Good to say about the Green New Deal. Trust me.
Awesome. Well, guys, thanks again for coming in. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Patreon people, love you. Kisses. Thanks again. We will do more reaction videos next week, so I hope you enjoyed it.
You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network, and you can find more great shows like this at wearelibertarians.com. Shows like We Are Libertarians with Chris Spangle, The Brian Nichols Show, The Boss Hog of Liberty, Now Hear This with Chris Spangle, Gingerarchy with Tricia Stewart Mann, and our training podcast, Upward, Libertarian Activism. All of these shows are supported by our patrons. If you'd like to become a Patreon member, visit wearelibertarians.com. Thank you so much for listening to this show.